top of the world.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome.
May I share something with you real quick?
Share something with me?
Yeah.
Depends what it is.
Oh, it's good.
Well, we'll let the Word of God decide that.
It's in His Spirit, let me tell you. As you and I and that lady over there know, we're running out of time. Satan is really...
There's our gospel card. Yeah. Satan's on the loose. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Really busy.
Yep.
I got in touch with a lady playing Scrabble on my phone.
Okay.
And she just wanted to talk, and I had that feeling, you know.
Okay.
So she and I started texting one another, and I, being me, mentioned Christ as our only hope.
Yep.
And she wrote back, "I don't know anything about Jesus."
Okay.
Yeah. So I buckled down and prayed hard to start with, and asked the Spirit to guide me and guide her. And
did you preach the gospel to her?
Oh, boy.
What is the gospel?
Hold on.
How do you find eternal life and be complete?
Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
He came to buy us back with His blood.
Amen. He was a ransom.
And faith in Jesus Christ is our only hope.
Amen.
And it's plenty more than enough to save us.
Right.
And she...
But wait, is that the end of the gospel you preach? So well, Jesus was, died and believe in Him?
Well, of course, follow through and be baptized, be born again and repent.
Ah, now you're carrying through more.
I was just saving a little time.
Well, no, don't save time. We don't want to cut corners on God's Word.
Well, that's true.
The Bible says that you're on the right track. The Bible says by Jesus Christ shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection, by faith we can place it in Him, but it's not a faith of head knowledge. It's a heart knowledge to follow.
Exactly.
The Bible says you must repent and turn from all your sin. When you repent, you change your mind, you change your ways. That means I tell people three main things. You got to come out of your flesh. Your flesh is your enemy, will destroy you.
Right.
You got to come out of the culture. That's Satan's kingdom. It's out to destroy you. And you got to come out of the church systems. There's one right across the street. These are, I don't care if it's Roman Catholic, Baptist, Lutheran, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon. None of them were invented by God. They're invented by men. So repentance, and you mentioned it, you must be born from above by the Spirit of God.
Exactly.
It doesn't end there, though. Then the fruit. The Bible talks a lot about fruit.
Indeed.
The fruit that you truly have been born of God is not that you just go to church, not that you just get water baptized.
Oh, no.
The fruit that you truly are born of God is the Spirit of truth leads you to the Word of truth, and your life becomes a living sacrifice of truth, and you leave every false way. Here's a good example. Easter's coming up this weekend. Good Friday and Easter, Resurrection Sunday, they call it. These are lies. Jesus didn't die on Friday. He didn't rise on Sunday, and many people practice it. So the fruit is holiness and obedience, conforming your life, your ways, everything about you to the Word of God. And then the last part, this is all on my gospel card. The last part of the gospel, too, is we have to tell people they have to endure in that every day. You can't believe once and then walk your own way, be like the world. You got to endure every day. And the Bible teaches over 30 times to be perfect. Now, what that means is fully mature.
Yeah.
And how do you get fully mature unless you're reading the Word, following the Word, stripping your life down, obeying it, and studying it? So that's the biblical gospel. And salvation is not a one-time thing. You know, I'm married to my wife right there.
Right.
But that's not a one-time thing. An everyday thing.
You got that right.
Salvation has been reduced down to a one-time thing. Raise your hand, say a prayer. I made it. I believe in Jesus. I'm going to heaven. And the Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. The Bible teaches strive, endure, work out your faith with fear and trembling. Amen?
And be fearless in His Spirit.
Yeah, amen. Do you belong to a religious body?
To His. Well, but I may very well right now because I have been visiting different churches.
Yes. Stop looking for truth in the places of man.
Just like you said.
Stop looking for truth in the places of man. You're not going to find it. I've been doing this for years. Those are places are Satan's synagogues. And the churches in America are built for the goats. Goats are going to be separated out.
Yeah.
You want to be a sheep of God. Study the scriptures and walk in all of His ways.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
We're on the same page. Every word of it. Yeah.
Awesome. So you claim to be born again?
Oh, you know it, sir.
All right. And you live in this town? We're just traveling through, and we fly signs, and I street preach all over America. So we do it in big towns, little towns. We go to events. We stand outside religious bodies, and we just preach the gospel. My website DontPerish.com has thousands of resources for free. I don't take anyone's money.
Excellent.
Unlike all the people today selling the things of God, we don't sell the things of God.
Yeah.
So it's free. Yeah. And I have to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Please.
So you're a born-again man.
I am.
Why do you carry a gun? Open carry a gun.
Because as a...
Because I couldn't help you notice you walked up and you had a gun.
Yeah, it is obvious.
And it's legal. It's legal.
Yeah,
I understand.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not against guns. No. Guns can be used for many purposes, like getting food and all that. But I'm just curious, why do you have a gun?
In this cesspool Satan is in charge of at this present time.
Amen. Two kingdoms, God's kingdom or Satan's, yeah.
Occasionally, somebody needs to be rescued.
Yeah.
In a very ugly way.
Yeah.
Somebody pulls a gun on the clerk, I got to take him out.
Yeah.
I've never had to.
Yeah, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, man to man. So, I understand a gun is a tool.
It is.
All right. So, I don't have a gun on me. I personally am not against a man carrying a gun as a tool. Now, let me give you an example.
Uh-huh.
To me, it's like an air horn. If I saw a crime,
yeah,
I could run towards the crime, blow the air horn, and say, I'm calling the police. And that probably will do something. They may run. They may come and beat me up,
maybe,
but it may take the pressure off whatever they're doing.
True.
And so it's just a tool. Now, I believe a gun, while I don't think it's a good witness for Christians to open carry guns, I don't think that's a good witness in the culture, but I do believe it could be a tool. Now, you saw a man accosting a woman or a child or doing something, you could probably garnish your weapon and say, you better run, I've got a gun. And most times I think they're going to run.
The problem.
Or, wait, hold, let me finish. Or they're going to shoot at you.
Yeah,
or in the extreme case, you could fire a round off in the air to scare them away. But here's where, and there's a lot of variables there. Here's where I draw the line. I have a question for you. I think all of what I just said would be biblical. Scaring them away, chasing them away. Even having a gun could be an offensive. Oh, he's got a gun. Don't mess. I get it. Jesus told the men to have two swords. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
But I have a question. Does it seem Christ-like to pull a gun out and kill people? To actually aim and shoot and kill them? Does that seem like something Jesus would do?
I know what you're saying, 70 times
but,
seven,
but yes or no?
Blah, blah,
does,
blah.
Does it? Does
I'm
it?
Gonna, I have to say no because okay. of what I studied.
Okay. So my encouragement to you is, ready? You claim to be born again, and I'd love to hear from you sometime. You can shoot me an email. I would hope you'd never want to kill anyone with your gun. If you do carry it, you should use it as a tool for good. Use it to scare evil off, but I would encourage you to never pull out that gun and kill anyone. Can I tell you a quick story?
Let me tell you this real quick before we change the subject. Statistically, by a significant margin, if someone has a gun out and is doing something wrong, trying to scare them or wing them in the knee, those things create more issue and more bloodshed.
Well, but that's not our issue. Let me tell you a quick story. You might remember this. Down in Texas a few years ago, a man walked into a Church of Christ and killed some people with a shotgun. Do you remember hearing about that?
Oh.
All right. I got an article on that on my website. They had one of their deacons. Ready?
Yeah.
One of their deacons was a marksman. And he was training all the men in there how to shoot pistols, and he was the president that day, and I actually watched the video. Now, I don't encourage anybody watching violent videos, but I did it not for entertainment. I did it to see it so I could write a testing on it to expose it.
Sure.
The man walked in. He had a trench coat on in the church. Now, the first problem is nobody should get to just walk in the body of Christ. See, that's the problem with the modern church. You're either born of Christ and people know you're born of Christ, or if you're a stranger, men take you to the side and say, why are you here? Let us explain the gospel
to you.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy sitting in the crowd with a trench coat on. Well, they had their eye on him already. They never went up and approached him. He's sitting right next to women and children. They never went and approached him. Foolishness. Well, in the middle of the service, he stands up, pulls out a shotgun, blows one of the guys away, turns, blows another guy away, starts running towards the building, and he had a pump shotgun,
right.
Not an automatic machine gun,
yeah.
Pump shotgun.
Right.
So he turns and he's running up the aisle, and the deacon, who's got an open carry, one shot, boom, blows his head off, shoots him dead. That you couldn't see it on the video, you just saw the guy fall.
Yeah.
His far away video. Now,
yeah.
People say, oh, praise God, he stopped all the carnage that day. Do you know how they could have done that without killing him?
Oh, yeah.
How?
But...
How could they have done that without killing him?
Well, the man that killed him had to deal with what he had to deal with. Now, if they were doing their job, like you said,
well,
when the man who they don't know comes
yeah, he
in,
never, if they were a true New Testament body, that man never should have been in there. But
exactly.
here's the formula, ready? If you and I were standing out here right now, and a man came up and he was a mass shooter, okay? Instead of pulling our gun and aiming and blowing him away, Jesus said, no greater love than you give your life for another.
Right.
So instead of killing him and sending him to hell, which he's going to go as a murderer, okay? What I would tell you that church, those church people, by the way, I didn't mention this. When the shots were fired, let me ask you a question. What's a pastor? Do you know what a pastor is? What's it mean?
To the best of my knowledge, it comes from this lead.
And it means shepherd. So yeah, shepherds but, lead sheep, yeah, and they protect sheep. What do shepherds do when a wolf shows up?
Go home and they get the wolf.
Okay. I watched that video for this reason. Do you know what most of the men and that pastor did? Not most of the men. Every single man and woman and that pastor did. You know what they did?
Probably dove.
The pastor got on the ground, and you can watch him well after the shooting's over, crawling on his hands and knees to get out the front door and go run away. Now, does that sound like a shepherd to you?
Good luck, guys.
Okay, here's what should have happened. When that man shot, all the women and children should have hit the ground, and all the men, there was 50 men, should have rushed him. Now, maybe he would have got one more of you.
Maybe. But
you surrender your life for another man's life. Now you have a good witness. Oh, they didn't kill him. They surrounded him, and they bear-hugged him on the ground and loved him until the police showed up and arrested him. Because if we don't do that, what are the police going to come and do? They're going to come and kill him.
Probably.
So there is a solution to this, and that is in a mass shooter situation, the men aren't supposed to run and hide like cowards.
No,
they're
no.
supposed to run to the shooter
right.
and basically, and I call it the honeybee strategy. You know why I call it that? God has designed his creatures perfectly. When killer hornets show up, at a beehive, they kill bees.
Yes.
When they show up at a beehive, do you know what happens? This is amazing. You can look this up on the internet. They might go in and grab one bee and start to kill it. That bee sends out a signal. You know what all the other bees do? They go run and hide. No. They swarm the hornet and move their wings. And you know what that does?
Oh, I can't remember.
They cook them alive.
Yeah, they overheat.
Now, in their case, they kill the enemy. They're animals.
Yeah.
We don't have to do that. We could swarm the enemy.
Oh, I know.
Hold him to the ground till the police come, and the witness of Christ is kept intact versus pulling our gun out and blowing him away. So I just wanted to give you that testimony. I think that's a better God-honoring alternative. I have no problem with a gun as a show of force. I have no problem with a gun to shoot to warn. Watch out ever deciding to kill someone. Jesus wouldn't do it. Paul wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
The disciples wouldn't do it. Just because they had swords
right.
doesn't mean they would use them.
Yeah.
I know this. Ready?
No record of it.
No. Jesus said, be wise as a serpent. I can promise you, if I walk through this street and there's some gangbanger thugs, and they say me and my wife, and they see we're unarmed, they go, oh, easy target. Let's get them. Ready? Yeah. If I walk through and I got a 3-foot sword dangling on my side, do you think they might think again about taking me on?
And to me, it's the same story.
Okay, so just be careful. I don't have a problem with that. I do think I have guns. Mm. I believe I shoot and I hunt. I have guns. I would not open carry. I don't think it's a good testimony in the culture. Not because the gun's sinful. It has the wrong connotation. You know why? Let me give you a good example. I drink wine. Uh-huh. Every once in a while, I'll drink a glass of wine. If my back hurts, I got a lot of health issues. I'll drink. Paul said, take some wine for your stomach's sake. Very seldom, but I do. And we use wine for the Lord's Supper.
Nice.
So alcohol is not sinful. Getting drunk is sinful. Mm-hmm. Guess what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't carry a bottle of wine on my belt.
Of course not.
Why not?
People will
think I'm a drunkard.
Yeah, it sells a different.
So when you carry a gun, it gives you the connotation in our culture. And here's the problem.
Sidearm. Exposed.
Yeah.
Open carry.
Right. Exactly.
Twice.
I get it.
Twice.
I get it.
Yes,
I get it. That's why I told you. I'm not against them. Just, here's what I see. I've got an article on called Christian Nationalism.
Uh-huh.
These are the people that are rabidly behind Trump and they're political and they believe we got to fight for our freedom. There is this whole movement and there's Christians preparing with guns and weapons to kill for freedom. Now, wait.
Yeah.
America was founded on that.
Yeah.
America's not a godly nation. It never was a fully biblical nation.
No.
It's a corrupt nation. George Washington was a deist. Thomas Jefferson was Antichrist. He cut the words of Jesus out of his Bible. I preach at Mount Rushmore, tell people that, and they don't believe me. Go look it up.
Yeah.
He was an Antichrist.
Yeah.
He didn't even believe Jesus was God. So I don't believe that carrying a gun is a good witness, because the Christian nationalists are getting ready to fight for their freedom, and I don't believe Jesus would ever do that.
That's going to add another... that's going to add more to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was a good topic that we got to cover together. Ponder that. Think about that.
Oh, you better will.
And go to my website. Test what I preach. Well, I already shared with you the gospel. I got lots of articles. And if you would ever like to communicate, send me an email.
Gotcha.
And then I'd love to Bible study with you. I'd love to encourage you. My wife,
yeah.
You'll see our house right down there. See that van? That's our house. We sold everything.
I
we sold everything we own. And we travel the country and preach the gospel, and we fund ourselves. We don't take people's money. But we're warning people about the church systems, as my sign says. We're warning people about the culture, and wrath is coming. You walked up saying time is short. Wrath is coming.
Oh, and yeah.
It's coming, yeah. So get ready. What was your first name?
I'm Bill.
Bill, I'm James. Nice to meet you.
Good to know
you, I hope
brother.
To hear from you someday. That's my wife. That's my wife's sister, Debbie. We call each other Brother Tupos and Sister Amen. Tupos means example. Amen means faithful. We gave up our worldly names because we want to follow Christ with all that we are. So, the Bible actually says we get a new name one day in Revelation. Did you know that?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you get a new name on a white rock. I love that.
White rock, we do. Yeah.
I'm striving for that. And the other one I love is it says, if you overcome, you will become a pillar in the temple of my God.
Yeah.
I want to be a pillar. Actually, I'll be happy if you just let me be janitor. In heaven. But I wouldn't mind being a pillar too. That'd be awesome.
That would be a
That'd be awesome.
Now, that candidate just walked by. I've been going to church. A lot has changed in the last year.
I probably came here just for you today.
My wife left. I'm sorry?
I probably came here just for you today.
That's
to encourage you.
That,
God always has appointments for me.
my wife left. Got up and left.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
About a year ago. It's been a real struggle.
No children or anything?
That's the worst story.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I've been going to church with that guy that just walked by for years.
Really?
Like a Baptist in the liquor store.
Yeah, he ain't going to talk to me.
Yeah.
He ain't going to talk to me. I can tell you that right now. They don't like to be tested. The Baptists, all these denominations think, oh, we can just keep sinning and serve God. And it's like, no. Jesus said worship in spirit and truth. They're not in truth. They're not in truth. Like I said, Good Friday and Easter, Resurrection Sunday is coming. It's a lie from Roman Catholicism. So do me a favor, Bill. Not do me a favor. Do your soul a favor. Stay away from the churches. Open the scriptures. Study the word of God. Be a Noah in your town, conform to the word of God, and don't fellowship, sing, and pray with anyone that's not a biblical holy saint. When you do that, when you sing and pray and unite to people on Sunday, do you know what you're doing?
It's a spiritual connection.
You're partaking in their evil.
Yeah.
You are. The Bible says in Romans 16:17, mark those who cause divisions having left sound doctrine and avoid them.
Yeah.
You don't want to go and sit there.
Well, you know, even if you don't know a lot, the parable of the 10 virgins.
It's clear.
At least half the people that sit on them pews aren't going to make it. At least.
Oh, it's far greater. Right. Look up my articles on few. Only 8 got on the ark out of a couple 100,000 probably. Only 3 came out of Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's
only
right.
2 out of 600,000 entered the Holy Land from Israel. The number is minute. Jesus said few,
narrow.
And that word few means puny.
Yeah,
it means puny. So you want to make sure you're one of them. And the only way you're going to be one of them is if you conform your life, how you act, talk, dress, live, who you associate with, according to the word of God, as fruit that he's at work in you.
Right.
If the Spirit's really at work in you, your life will conform to God's word. And that's what my website is designed to help people do that.
Excellent.
To conform to God's word.
I'm proud to know you, brother.
I'm glad you stopped by.
Yeah.
I'm glad you stopped by.
And I pray your safety.
Thank you.
Wherever you go.
Email me. I'd love to Bible study with you. What you need is encouragement. And here, you need regular Bible study and you need accountability.
I have been
with godly people.
I have read my Bible so much in the past year since my wife left.
Yeah.
Over and over.
That's awesome.
kind of thick.
Okay, can I share something with you about the Word of God? So the Bible says to read it or study it.
Right.
It says read it. And then, but a lot of people only stop there. You want to meditate on it. Now, it's not New Age meditation. It means look at the scripture and think, what does it say? What does that mean to me? How does that apply? Ready? Look at the Greek and the Hebrew words. That will help you a lot. Forget the commentaries from all these evangelicals. They're false. Right. Look at the Greek and the Hebrew words. So read it, study and meditate on it. Understand it. If it's for you today, then ready? Obey it.
Get to it.
Yeah. Most people stop at reading.
Of course.
You got to apply it. Yeah, you got to apply it. And my website helps people do that, to apply it right.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So it's awesome. I'm so glad you stopped.
Oh, yeah. I was supposed to have it.
You know? You didn't look like a very happy guy. So when guys that don't look very happy walk up to me with a gun, I always say, Lord, if today's my day, let's get it done.
Yeah. I hope I make that pillar.
You know what? I always ask the Lord for a good death. And I'll be honest with you, if somebody walked up with a pistol and killed me in front of my wife, that's a good death to me. You know why? She's going to rejoice that I died in the Lord's service. I'm going home. I know it because I'm serving him with all my heart.
You
so win. That's a good death.
Yeah.
That's a good death. Now, getting run over by a milk truck going to get a pizza, that's not such a good death.
Yeah, I don't want to lay there.
But I'll take whatever the Lord gives me because I'm serving him with all my heart.
That's what I am. So,
so you let me know. Let me know how I can encourage you. We travel all over and we'll be back down this way, Lord willing. I don't know if directly this way, but we spend the winters down south because the festivals and flea markets everything's down there. Yeah. We're originally from Wisconsin, and it's frozen up there. Yeah. Nobody's outside.
Right.
Then in the summer, we head back, and we go all over America. We go out to Mount Rushmore. We go out west.
Yeah.
We're going to be going out east. We're in the Midwest, so we just go all over. We live real frugal in our camper van.
Yeah.
And I retired at 52, worked a small business for a while, but then sold it. In the last 5 years, I've been just doing this full time, traveling the country, preaching the gospel,
disciples. I listened to a song this morning.
Bringing in the seeds.
And, you know, from 1950, whatever.
Yeah. Watch out for songs. A lot of them, I'll just tell you this, a lot of songs are very fleshly. They make you want to move. That's not good. And then a lot of them aren't biblical in their doctrine.
No.
A lot of them treat God like he's a high school boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas we don't, let me share this with you quick. We don't have a relationship with God today as the way they talk it, but we have the Holy Spirit to manifest in us. But a relationship is you and I. We can have a relationship. I can have a relationship with my wife. We don't really have a relationship with Jesus. We have the manifest spirit in our hearts. One day we're going to be right with him. We'll have a relationship. Do you know what we have today, Bill? A covenant. We have a blood covenant. And he did his part perfectly. You need his perfect righteousness. But you got to do your part, which is obey him, follow him, walk in his word, walk in his way. And I'm here to help you do that.
Yay, team. Well, I gotta run.